All right, Bridgepoint, how are we feeling this morning? Everybody good? Hope the downtown crowd is doing well. Also, it's been a fun morning so far. Welcome to week three of Powernoia. Powernoia being the anxiety one feels when your electronic device's battery is running low or dead. Worst case scenario is you turn out looking like Rick in Tech Talks. So today we're going to focus on what it looks like to plug into a power source that doesn't leave you in situations like that. I'm excited about it. If you've missed any of this series, go back and catch up. This one's been a lot of fun, but super powerful, even for me personally. Even this past Sunday, I got away with my life group on a little just vacation recharge time. As much as you can recharge with a four-year-old and two-year-old at home, but we recharged a little bit. And this past Monday, we had a worship night at Tyrone campus in the downtown campus that was absolutely incredible at refilling our batteries, reconnecting our souls with God. If you missed it, you missed out. But welcome to week three. It's been a lot of fun. Today, we're talking about something that will probably not shock you. In fact, this is probably one of the most obvious things that a pastor or anyone has ever told you, but it's the space that we're going to jump off from today, and that's this. We live in a noisy world. I know that blows your mind with insightfulness, right? We live in a noisy world. Sometimes that noise is from external circumstances. You go to the beach, you hear oceans crashing, or if you pull out a snack at the beach, then you hear seagulls coming in to share. There's no telling what that noise is. If you're in a car, oftentimes you have the radio running or the sound of the tires on the pavement. All of that is noise, not necessarily bad noise. It's just noise. Nature has noise. Our world has noise. But there's also internal noise when we start dealing with the stress and anxiety and depression that comes from this from within, the feeling like we need to keep up with expectations, meet the demands that others place on our lives, fear of being alone or underperforming or not getting the recognition that we deserve. All of that is internal combined with the external, which means we live in an incredibly noisy world. So much of us tend to crave silence. We would love to find silence, especially if you are a parent. Silence sounds so golden so much of the time. But did you know there's not actually such thing as perfect silence, at least as long as we're around, because even in the spaces that create silence, there still are bodies functioning. Here's what I mean. In the research for this series, I did not know this, maybe you already did and I'm just behind, the quietest room in the world is at Orfield Labs in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Did you know this? There's like rooms called echo chambers, which reverberate or echo noise, right? They make noise. But then this is kind of the opposite of that. I'd pronounce it what this type of room is, but I can't pronounce it. Basically, this room is designed to absorb as much of the sound waves as absolutely possible. So while everybody operates normally at about 30 decibels, we consider relatively quiet. So if 30 decibels is quiet, this room operates at -9 decibels. They absorb 9 decibels worth of sound. Again, all the parents are like, please take me there. Whatever it takes, take me to that room. Here's what's interesting about that. Anybody that goes into that room, again, this is where it's impossible so long as humans are involved to achieve perfect silence. In this room, all you hear is the sound of your body functioning. So you hear your organs working. You hear breath going in and out of your lungs. You can actually hear blood flowing through your veins. You can hear the sound of your skin stretching across muscles as you contract them. For those of us that are well-aged, you can actually hear the sound of bone on bone cracking against itself. You hear your body functioning in this room. Coming up on spooky season, as we are, there's part of me that's like, get me in there and give me a shot of it. That sounds equal parts disgusting and horrifying. I'm in. There's also part of me that's like, I don't want to hear the sound of that two-day-old cheeseburger working its way through the whole system there. That's disgusting. But here's what's wild about this room, and you can Google this. I'm not making it up. The longest anyone has ever lasted inside this chamber is 45 minutes. That's the longest anyone has ever lasted in this pseudo-silence ever, because the silence is so piercing that people begin to hallucinate from it. They start hearing things that aren't there and seeing things or people that are not in the room with them, that after 45 minutes, the silence literally makes their brains start to malfunction. They get out of that room. 45 minutes. If you'd like to try it, feel free to give it a shot, but just report back your findings. Our world is so noisy that silence tends to madden us if we're not careful, which is why so many of us so often quickly turn on the music, turn on the TV, or use whatever we can to drown out silence. That's just because we live in an absolutely noisy world. It's all around us all the time. It's all within us all the time. And it's for a series that's built upon navigating the busy, that busy is not bad unless busy controls you. And that, like last week, we learned that just as we were created to work and be busy, we were also created to rest and find rest in the midst of busy, to really tune out and drown out noise, to noise cancel in the midst of that rest is absolutely paramount for our souls. I was thinking as I was preparing for this message and instantly reminded of a story from the Old Testament. It's about a prophet named Elijah. A prophet was basically God's mouthpiece to his people back in the Old Testament. So that's a history lesson in and of itself. Elijah was that prophet. He was charged by God to speak to the people the words that God wanted communicated to his people. And where we're going to pick up this story in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah had just wrapped up one of the most significant victories any prophet ever got to experience in the Bible. Hundreds of people were absolutely positive based on what Elijah had done that God was real and God was working in the world. Elijah was making some noise himself. He was excited about what he'd just experienced. However, in his excitement and in the demonstration that Elijah got to be a part of, it made enough noise that people that were anti-God began to hate Elijah. In fact, the queen, the person in charge of the time, her name was Jezebel. She wanted Elijah dead because he was promoting this God. So we're going to pick this story up with Elijah actually on the run. One of the most significant moments he had had with God. Now he was running for his literal life because people wanted to kill him. He was experiencing some noise from the world. I want you to hear a picture of what I'm talking about. 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 9. And there Elijah came to a cave and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And God said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, God of hosts." Elijah's saying, "God, I've been busy doing exactly what you've asked me to do, speaking what you've asked me to speak. We even had a big victory not long ago, God, but right now, I'm running for my life." Here's what I mean. The people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They're not listening to your promises, nor do they care about it. They've thrown down your altars and they've killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah was busy doing even what God wanted him to, but he was finding that the world was still noisy. That if we're not careful, that noise and that busy can still create stress, anxiety, powernoia in deep inside of our souls that causes us to be desperate from God or causes us to only hear the sound of the fear that exists around us. And it makes us hide. It makes us shut down. It makes us reach a point where we start falling apart. And this sounds, as I was thinking about this passage, it sounds so opposite of the passage that we read to kick this whole series off, which was an invitation from Jesus. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And this is a history lesson that you don't have time for. Elijah lived well before Jesus's invitation, but Elijah still had the opportunity to walk with God and to find the free and light life. But it sure doesn't sound like Elijah, while he's hiding in the cave, was finding any kind of rest for his soul. So that kind of brings me to a question that I thought, maybe if we're going to seek rest and if paranoia really does exist, even that for our souls, maybe this leads us to a really important question to apply this whole message series to this day and age, and that's this: how can we hear from God in a noisy world? if it's true that some thousands of years ago when Elijah lived, that the noise was, that the world was still noisy, even for people that were following God, then so much more so today in our technology-driven world, how do we hear from God in a world that is so noisy by its own nature, but also because of what's within us? It's an interesting thought to ponder, because I'm confident that in order for your soul to find the rest that it seeks, it's actually going to have to figure out how to hear from God to maximize that. Because even people that aren't close to God are learning and discovering the importance of rest. They call it white space or seeking solitude. It's even a big business model right now that you find space for yourself. But space absent of God can't fulfill and recharge your soul like God intended. But even more so than that, the world is noisy. Like, here's my example. We live in a culture that when people want to drown out the noise to really find peace or rest, we actually create noise to drown out the noise. How many of you, show of hands, sleep with a sound machine at night? Anybody? Couple hands going up. How about this? My wife, when it's time to go to bed, she pulls out her iPad and turns on a fan. It starts spinning right there on the screen. It doesn't move any wind, but we use noise to cancel out noise. And then there's even whole different people that have opinions on the type of noise they want to use to drown the noise. Like the easy favorite of when you need a good rest and you want to create noise to drown noise, it's called white noise. And white noise sounds like this. See that white noise? A lot of you are thinking, Pastor, you better speed it up, because if you play and keep playing that, I'm falling asleep. You ain't that good. White noise is our closest competitor. In second place is brown noise. This is brown noise. Lower, deeper rumble. For some people, they like that idea, that concept. Did you know that most colors have a noise assigned to them? That was white and brown. This is pink noise. A little sharper, a little more I'm stuck in a wind tunnel, somebody send for help type of a sound. Some of us prefer the more natural routes. So when I go to sleep, and this isn't me personally, but some of you prefer sound of the waves on the shore, like this. Many of you are closing your eyes, going to your happy place right now, aren't you? I see it happening. Some of you are like, save the beach. That's not my style, but put me right in the middle of nature. You want to hear nature noise like this. Yeah, see, some people are ready. I would have to kill those birds to go to sleep, because that would just drive me absolutely insane. But what a culture we live in, that in order to cancel out the noise, we create or put ourselves in position to hear more noise. So therefore, how can we hear from God in what is a noisy world that we so often create more noise to navigate? Let's go back to Elijah's story, because I don't want you to miss how he handled the noisiness of the world that he was facing at his time, back in 1 Kings chapter 19. And God said, Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. This is like a hurricane or a strong tornado ripping through this area. And they say when you hear a tornado, it's like the sound of a freight train, right? So this is mighty wind rushing into this area, but... the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. You're in a mountain and you can hear the rocks trembling and shaking. The earth below you is moving, actively happening. That's a roar, right? All of nature sensing that something is wrong. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And I imagine that if God sets a fire, it's a ripping, roaring fire that is creating chaos all around it because of what it is. It's raging, right? But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. The passage continues that that was how God was communicating to Elijah, but I don't want you to miss the power of this verse, that God allowed three very loud, very demonstrative natural sounds that were loud and noisy and overwhelming, but God was not in those loud sounds. God was in the whisper. Why? How does that happen? How does God allow all those things to happen? How does God allow all those loud noises to go by in your life? But yet God spoke to Elijah in this passage. You can go on to read the rest of it through the whisper. And it brings me to an incredibly important big idea for this message that all of us need to be on the same page of to move forward in this message is this. God doesn't make a habit of yelling over the noise in your life. God doesn't make a habit of yelling over the noise in your life. And even just personally, when I think about the moments where a yell is necessary, when is that needed, right? I yell at my kids if they're about to walk into the street and get hurt, right? I yell to stop them. It's important. And a yell is necessary to get their attention. Or you see coaches often yelling to motivate or correct players. And in that instance, they're grabbing the attention of their players. But as I thought about even those two scenarios, both of those instances of a yell came from a place that had relationship behind it. And even if I just think about my life, the most impactful or important or the heaviest in a good way conversations that I've had in my life never came because somebody was willing to yell at me. Somebody never chewed me out and I walked away thinking, wow, I feel so inspired, right? Because a yell is actually only to fix something temporary. And a yell absent of a relationship is actually just fighting words, right? So God, in the same pattern, not going to make it a habit of yelling over the noise in your life because a yell takes care of temporary, but it doesn't satisfy deep down. In fact, it can be quite destructive or even dangerous. That's why God's not going to spend his time yelling at you. He's never going to force you to be in a relationship. He's never going to force a connection with you. He's not a God of control or manipulation. But maybe as you're processing this, the bigger question that you're having, maybe you're new to faith or you're stepping into Bridgepoint for the first time, you're not sure if you even want to follow God, maybe before we go much further down that line of thought, the question for you is actually, why does hearing from God matter at all? Like, why would I care about that? Why would that be meaningful to me? And how in the year 2019 can a God of old like that, the God that created everything some thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, how could he even be relevant or want to speak to somebody like me? Why does hearing from God matter? The absolute first thing that comes to my mind is because he gives me his perspective. And I don't know about for you guys, but in my life, there are absolutely moments where seeing a bigger perspective would have been so helpful for me. Because far and away, the only perspective I've ever gotten in my life is that which is mine as a finite and limited human being, that I can only see what I see. But what if it was important to hear from God so that I could see not my finite perspective, but instead the perspective of a God that holds the whole world in his hands? Can you imagine that that would change your perspective on life or be meaningful to you in the pursuit of? And even Paul, who wrote the book of 2 Corinthians, he wrote down this as he was inspiring people. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, though the world is noisy and chaotic, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. How many times in the journey of life has it been so helpful to know that there was more coming? Or how many times, flip side, in the journey of life, have we made permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances? That if we had just seen the full perspective, or at least a bigger one, it would have changed everything for us. I need to hear from God because I need a bigger perspective in my life, and he gives me his. But secondly, he reminds me of who I am and who I'm not. How many folks in life are working so hard to try to be something that God certainly never intended for them? But based on the pressures of culture, the expectations of others, or what their boss says about them, or what others say about them, or what they feel this is a standard they have to live up to, they spend their lives and all of their energy trying to perform and achieve a state that they were never created to actually do. And in so doing, they become a square peg trying to force themselves in a round hole, which only ends up doing destruction, either to the circumstances around it or to the peg itself. But how refreshing would it be for the difficult moments in life and for the good moments in life to be reminded of who God says that I am? That could change everything, because there's important truth to be related to that. In Romans chapter 5, God shows his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Don't miss the power. While we were busy trying to take care of ourselves, trying to do it our way, trying to do life on our terms, trying to be who we thought we were supposed to be or live up to the expectations of the world or the culture or the social media around us, that while we were doing even opposite of that which God desired for us, he loved us enough to allow Jesus to die for us. Would it impact your life journey at all? And in the moments that it got really hard to hear from God and be reminded that you are loved, that your worth wasn't determined in what you do or in how well you perform or in your bank account or the car that you drive, but instead your worth was determined that while you were still busy not paying attention, God was busy dying so that he could communicate his love to you? But far too many people are busy searching for love in all the wrong places. And it's only creating destruction within them or in the circumstances around them. Hearing from God matters because he gives us his perspective. He reminds us of who we are and who we're not. But he guides me to my purpose. You see, when I can see bigger than just my current circumstances, or when I can find my value in something greater than what exists in measurement around me, then that frees me to be me. That the pressure's off, that I don't have to perform for you. I don't have to get it right every single time. I don't have to pretend or wear a mask in front of other people. I don't have to pretend that my past and my history don't exist. But instead, I get to be reminded that God's perspective is in play here. And that in his perspective, I'm loved because he loved me, not because I've done anything. And so because of those two things, I'm free to just be me. And in being me, I get to walk in my purpose. And nothing can satisfy your soul in a deeper way than to wake up every day knowing that you're loved and God's working and you be you and God will handle the rest. Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of this very principle, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How many people do you know on a day-to-day basis that are working so hard to perform and have no idea that they have a plan and a purpose that God created them for? They're searching. They're working really hard to try to find that. But absent his perspective, absent of their worth being defined by him, they're missing the hope that comes from walking in a purpose that was given to us by God. Hearing from God matters. So back to maybe the question that you're asking now is that if hearing from God matters, then why does God speak in the whisper? God knows that this is a noisy world. God knows that it's loud all around us. God knows that creation is loud in and of itself. But God knows that oftentimes it's within us that we create our own noise that we allow to live in our minds. Why does God speak in the whisper? You ever found yourself just wishing, because this is 100% a part of my story, and certainly as a young believer, just saying, God, if you could just make it clear that relationship was me, just write a yes on a billboard I mean, speak to me. I want to do what you want me to do. Or God, do you want me to take this job? Or do you want me to invest in this opportunity? Should I walk away from this relationship? And God, can't you just arrange the clouds to say N-O or go for it or something like that that really speaks to me so I can, because I want to do it. But see, God's not interested in yelling those important markers, those important decisions, and those important things in our lives. Yelling is temporary. Why does God speak in the whisper? Because you can only hear a whisper when you get close. Why does God speak in a whisper? Because you can only hear a whisper when you get close. You see, God didn't spin the world into motion and just step back to let it happen so he can judge us on our performance. God's not distant or far off. He's not unengaged or disengaged. He's not unconcerned. He's not unaware of your hurts or your feelings. He's not unaware of your frustration by your circumstances. He's involved and he sees that and he knows that, but he's not going to yell over the noise to get your attention. Because yelling apart from relationship just creates tension. God's desire that we've learned from this entire Powernoia series has been, walk with me. You see, above everything else in creation, God's desire for you is to be near him. That the peace that your soul is searching for and that the lifestyle of rest that we all need, the opportunity to be able to hear from him is found not when he yells into our world, but when we get quiet enough and close enough to hear him speak. God's desire is for this thing to be personal. And that's why the mission that Bridgepoint was created for has never changed, that we exist to help people, all people, get closer to God. Why? Because we believe if you get close enough to hear from God, nothing in this world will satisfy your soul like that. Because nothing was made to. Powernoia exists because we stopped trying to get close to the God that desired us to rest, to find peace, and to hear from him. So what does it mean? Okay, I'm interested. What I want to hear from God. It makes sense that if he's God and he holds the whole world in his hands, that it would be wise for me to try to hear from him. How do I do that? How can I hear God's whisper? Because you need to understand that when we're talking about whisper, I'm not talking about audible voices necessarily. And when I'm talking about closeness to God, I'm not talking about proximity, because God's bigger than being confined by our creative world. I'm talking about a lifestyle that allows you to be near enough to him to know when he's talking to you. So how can I hear God's whisper? Four practical things. And I want you to pull out your phones or be ready to take some quick notes, because this slide is going to be the key to helping you be able to learn to hear God's voice, his whisper. The first is this: God speaks through his word. It's another word for the Bible. God speaks to us through the word, which is the Bible. You see, this passage in Hebrews, and I hope that you'll write that down and later in the week go and look these passages up so God can speak to you through it. But this passage in Hebrews underscores this idea of the Bible being God's word. These aren't words written and captured on a page. These are words spoken by God, captured by people, and written for us. And Hebrews describes them as living and active, not because they're ink on a sheet of paper, but because God is alive and working in this world and speaking to us. It's living and active. Are you spending time reading the Bible? Because God wants to speak to you through it. God speaks to us through our thoughts. Whoa. Let me give you a quick caution. You can't walk out of Sunday service today and say, man, I'm really feeling a Big Mac and fries. God must be about that McDonald's life. You can't walk out of here thinking she or he drives me insane, so God must be against that person. You got to be intentionally careful with your thoughts. And that's what this Philippians verse is about. Because if you don't fill your mind with things that God can speak to you through, then God won't speak through your thoughts. Because if you fill it with junk, that's not what God's about. He wants to speak to you, but are you putting anything in there that he can speak to you through? God's word, our thoughts, through godly people. Read this passage in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 18. It's a perfect illustration of exactly this, God using someone to go speak to somebody else. But that begs an incredibly important question. Who are you allowing up close to you in your life? Are they the type of people that God can speak through? Because if you're not surrounding yourself with godly people, don't expect to hear from God through them. See the difference? Lastly, God speaks through our circumstances. This passage in Romans reminds us that I don't know how and don't fully understand it. It's God's business, not mine. But God works together all things for our good and for us to be able to tell his story. That means whatever brought you to this moment, whatever skeletons exist there, all the bad, the good, and even the moments that are downright ugly, all of that God is using to form in you a story that he's going to use to allow you to walk into your purpose. So don't walk away from your past. Don't let it define you, and it doesn't shape your future. But how is God speaking to you about where you've been in light of where he wants to take you? Because he's going to use that to speak into your journey and to impact others through it. So can I ask you some questions? If God is out there and if God wants to speak to people, then are you spending enough time in his word to hear from him? Are you filling your mind with enough godly things that he can use to communicate with you? Are you connecting with enough people that are after the same God that can communicate God's words to you? Are you allowing your circumstances to grow and shape you into who God is making you to be? Because it's going to be hard to hear from him if you try to tune him out. Because he's not going to make it a habit of trying to yell into your life. Yelling is temporary, and this journey is eternal. I think far too many of us walked onto a Bridgepoint campus today that deep down inside there was paranoia, that our souls were beginning to run on low, or maybe we're even desiring to find that kind of rest, but we're doing it absent of hearing from God, and that's really where the power comes from. So I wonder how many of us today are busy searching in our lives but are missing his perspective, that are trying to allow other people or things to define our worth, and that's causing us to miss our purpose. And therefore, we're certainly never hearing from him because we miss listening for him. That maybe for the next few moments are about finding peace and resting in God and being still and quiet enough to hear his whisper. You know, 2,000 years ago, he offered his son to die on the cross so that you and I can have this kind of access to God. Are you listening? Will you pray with me? God, thank you that while our world is so noisy, that you are near. You're not distant. You're not disengaged. You're not uninformed. You're not confused. You're not caught off guard. Instead, God, you desire closeness with us, to walk with us, to coach us, to teach us, to help us live freely and lightly. So God, for a few minutes in our hearts, in our minds, and in this moment, would you help us find the peace that comes from being with you, but to be still enough to hear from you, even now. Thank you, Jesus, that you made this possible. In your name we pray. Amen.